Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
Salvation is not through church membership. Salvation is not through baptistry waters. Salvation is through faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You don't save yourself. It's the gift of God, and we're saved because of God's gift through Jesus Christ.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Valuing the Gift of Family.
You know, you ought to be able to have a friend come over to your house from your neighborhood or your work, and they ought to be able to just sense once they're getting in there, you know what, this is a Christian home. They've got some plaques with the Bible around. I see Bibles in this home. The kids talk a little differently in a good kind of a way. It just ought to be obvious that you're teaching the children some things that are biblically based. God says, I want you to teach the truth. You know what else He says to the Jews here in verse 9? He says, I want you to post the truth. Now notice what He says there in verse number 9. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, my friend, when you think about this and when you think about how the Jewish homes would place Scripture and perhaps the Ten Commandments, I think all of us, if we're saved, we're new creatures. It ought to affect the way that we live and even what's in the house that we live in. Now, I'm not putting anyone down. Sometimes I'll go to a Christian's house and they'll have some kind of questionable stuff hanging up in the garage, maybe a bunch of nudity. Or I'm just saying this. When you have Jesus in your life and in your home, you don't want to post Budweiser. You want to post things that bring glory to God. Amen. You start to think a little differently about it, and you begin to think, you know what? Besides some beautiful paintings or pictures, you know what? I want some of those paintings maybe to have a scripture on them, or I want a little plaque somewhere with the Ten Commandments or John 3:16, something that reminds us of our faith, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that if it's all Budweiser and HBO, that's where your family's going to go. But if you want your family to be lifted up out of that, then we've got to begin to think differently and scripturally. We've got to begin to post some things that we can see. Now, the Jews did some things that we don't do in this particular age and dispensation. Look what it says there in verse 8. It says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. When I was in Israel a few years ago at the Western Wall, I saw some of the Orthodox Jews, maybe you've seen this too. They literally take these phylacteries and they put scripture in them and they tie them around their heads. In order to walk around with the scriptures. Now, folks, I got good news for you. We're not passing these out after church. I mean, some of you, if you wore that home from church, your teenagers would go, Dad has flipped out, okay? Now, I do know a few men that I've pastored over the years. I'd like to tie this and more around some of their heads. You know, like, love your wife. Don't forget, boy. You know, tie that one on tight, because sometimes it seems like we forget what we're hearing from church. But the point is that we need to teach our children, and we need to have a home where the scriptures are prevalent. The teaching of the scriptures, God says, here is a life. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to steward this life? Notice, secondly, He says, I not only want you to teach them about me, but I want you to have a testimony before these children. Moms and dads, I want you to live a life before them that shows them the way. Don't just tell them the way, but show them the way to this life. So let's turn now in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians over in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see what God says to the fathers here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay? Ephesians 6, 4. We've seen that God wants us to teach the children. Now He wants us to have a testimony. Verse 4, notice what it says. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is very basic, but how many of you believe America needs to get back to basics? Very basic thought. God doesn't intend the school or the state to raise your children. California has recently passed so many laws that are anti-life and anti-biblical family, and now even anti-parental rights, that it's frightening to me, frankly. Now, folks, I want you to know that you have a choice today. You can raise your child, or the state will raise your child, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be involved with your children's lives. To know who their friends are, to know where they are, to teach them, to love them, and to bring them up. So what does God say about us being involved with our children? Look at what it says here in verse number 4 of chapter 6. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, dads, God says, first of all, I want you to have a testimony of moderation. I want you to have a testimony that is not known for always being angry, yelling, screaming, and the like. And how many of you would admit with me, sometimes our kids know exactly what buttons to push? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they get us to that point where we can get frustrated. Heard about a lady named Donna. She was expecting her second child. She had a 4-year-old boy, and she was telling everybody about having this baby. She was so excited. She went to a grocery store one day, and one of her friends was there, and the friend said, "Oh, that's great, Donna." And she looked at the 4-year-old boy and she said, "Are you excited about the little baby?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've been listening to mom and daddy talk about it too." And said, "I know what the names are going to be. If it's a girl, we're going to call the baby Christina. And if it's a boy, we're going to call it Quits." Some of you will get that tomorrow. Donna was a little exasperated, a little embarrassed. Sometimes our kids embarrass us. Sometimes they talk back. Sometimes they don't listen or do their chores. But God says in the midst of this, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Be a man filled with the Spirit and with moderation. Be a man who has the fullness of God and is witnessing for the Lord. You see, it is the duty of the family to follow the leadership of the father, but the father must manifest such character that this obedience is rendered from the heart of the child or even the wife. As the family sees this spiritual leadership, it's a blessing for them, and they want to support that because it is something that is of God. That's why it says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The word discouraged there means broken in spirit or disheartened. Now, I want to tell you something real quickly. This kind of teaching that Paul was giving to the Ephesians, this wasn't normal in the first century Roman Empire. You know, in the first century Roman Empire, the way they treated children was terrible. In fact, their way of treating children was somewhat barbaric. And I want you to know this, that while some people would say, well, Christianity just takes away your rights and Christianity just holds you down, the truth is really the opposite of that. Wherever biblical Christianity has advanced, civility has also advanced. Biblical, you know, someone says, well, what about the Crusades? I'm not talking about the Crusades, and this is not a Catholic church.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchappell.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chappell.
Did you know that during the Crusades, not only Muslims were killed, but even Baptists and every other religion that got in the way, they had their lives taken. Baptist people have never killed to advance the faith. I'm not talking about that type of barbarism. What I'm saying is that whenever Christianity has been spread, you're going to find this: orphanages, hospitals, children being nurtured and cared for. You're going to find wives being lifted up and respected and women being respected. But in the first century Roman culture, there was a law called patria potestas, which said that a father had virtual power over his children and that he could literally cast them out of the house. He could sell them as slaves. He could even kill them and never be held accountable. This particular man in the Roman Senate by the name of Seneca, he was a statesman at the time of Paul's living. And he wrote a letter to a man in Ephesus in which he said, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown." Now that was what life was like in the Roman Empire. So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit and saying, by the way, dads, don't get your kids angry. Don't discourage your kids. Love your kids. How many of you see the difference that Christianity brought? How many of you begin to see that when we grow, we're not going to be barbaric, cussing, half out of our mind drunk parents, but we're going to bring a civility into the home that is very, very different. And as I've studied the primary case and the primary causes for many children in California being placed in foster care, it's not because of divorce. It's not because of a lack of finance. Do you know the primary cause is because of a lack of interest on the part of the parents? Parents who say, thanks God, but no thanks. Let us pray for America, lest we become like the Roman Empire. May we recognize that children are the heritage of the Lord. Now, there's not a dad here that wants to discourage his kids. And so let me give you four quick ways to avoid provoking anger in the life of a child. The first way, if you want to avoid provoking anger in your child, is you do not want to model anger. You don't want to be physically abusive, of course, or even verbally abusive. I heard about a little boy and he said, Mom, He said, how come as we drive with Daddy, how come it's only the idiots that come out when Daddy drives? Sometimes dads, without really realizing it, we're always too negative and always too combative. D.L. Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he's a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. Listen, we don't want to spend so much time just modeling anger. You think about so many men that are locked up today. They were abandoned by their fathers. They've known nothing but anger. That's all they're going to reproduce in their life is more anger. The second way that you can instill anger in a child is by overprotectiveness. I think there were some times in my raising up of our children where I got right up to the edge of that. And the reason we do that, parents, is we love our kids so much. And yet sometimes the message that it sends is that we don't trust them at all. And so we want to be careful with overprotectionism in our parenting. And you must realize that rules without relationships brings rebellion into the heart. Those times that I was maybe real close to this overprotection, I was also glad that I'd spent a lot of time developing a relationship so that in the hearts of our children, they knew that Mom and Dad loved them very much. The third way is by favoritism. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac favored Esau, Rebekah favored Jacob, and it really caused great tension in the family. I've seen this over the years. Sometimes I've seen a family that maybe they had a couple kids earlier on, but they really wanted one more, or finally they were able to have a child a little bit later, and suddenly, almost as with idolatry, they worship that child. They take so many pictures. They take so much time with that child. They seemingly spend so much time with this child that they can neglect the others. It's unintentional, but there's a message that is sometimes sent when there's the perception of favoritism. And then fourthly, by passivity. You know, some parents are overly dominant. Some parents are just very passive. They're not involved. They never discipline. They never nurture. They don't really spend time. They don't set boundaries. So Paul is saying, look, love your kids. Don't provoke them to anger. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 speaks about this philosophy. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. And so here we see a testimony of moderation, that we are to not provoke the children. But notice, secondly, there was to be a testimony of admonition. Admonition. Come back to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Read the rest of it with me. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Say that again. But bring them up. Now, dads, this is a command. God says, I want you to bring them up. I want you to bring them up. First, in the nurture of the Lord. Susanna Wesley had 17 children in England back in the 1800s and late 1700s. Susanna Wesley raised two young sons, John and Charles, who literally shook both Great Britain and America with great revival spiritually. John Wesley wrote in his journal, "The parent who studies to subdue the self-will in his child works together with God in renewing and saving the soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that is in him to damn his child's soul and body forever." In other words, dads, at some point, someone's going to talk to your child about the Heavenly Father. And sometimes their perception of this Heavenly Father is based on their perception of their earthly father. And we don't want to do anything to discourage them from wanting a Heavenly Father. Now, let me quickly say, if you were abused by your earthly father, if you were abandoned by your earthly father, there is a Heavenly Father that truly loves you, and He will never leave you and never forsake you. So don't use your earthly paradigm to reject a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. But God says, I want you to nurture these children. Secondly, He says, I want you to admonish these children. Admonishment has the positive, which is the instruction, and the negative, which is correcting them when they do wrong. So God says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up with nurture, the disciplines of life, with admonition, the teaching of what is right and what is wrong in life. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight into thy soul. Now, some of you are new at all this. Let me give you a practical pointer, okay? And jot this down maybe at the side. Say, how do I admonish a child when I'm just learning the faith myself? Some of you are just learning how to love God with your own heart, soul, and mind. So how can you admonish your children? Here's a little tip. A proverb a day. Say that with me. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, one per day. If your kids are younger, just take a couple verses a day. Older, take the whole chapter. There is more family counsel in Proverbs than you can possibly imagine. There's so much admonishment, I guarantee, if you'll take a few minutes a day and read a few verses from Proverbs, if you'll do that for 1 month, I give you this guarantee, it will change your family. I promise you, if you'll take a few minutes every day in the Proverbs, because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now the average family, the average parent is spending about 12 minutes a day talking to their children. And I think a lot of us probably have been guilty of that. So it's going to take some intentional time to sit down and just talk about the Lord and talk about what's going on in our lives spiritually. That's the testimony that God wants parents to have. So He says, if you're going to steward these children, number one, I want you to teach them what I have to say in the Scriptures. Number two, I want you to give them a testimony, not of anger, but of loving admonition. And number three, He says, and most importantly, I want you to give the children the truth concerning salvation. The truth of salvation. Everybody needs to know. Now, someone says, well, Pastor Chappell, we came here last week and you talked about salvation last week. I've got good news for you. We talk about it some way every week because this is the most important part of our faith, is what Jesus did for us. But let's see how it intertwines with raising a family today. Notice this, if you would, in your notes or turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we prepare to close this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. How do you help a child to know about Jesus? This is very, very important. Now, we're going to read about a young man named Timothy who did not have a Christian father, just like some of you are a single mom with an unsaved husband or a single dad with an unsaved wife. Timothy's mom and grandmother believed on Jesus, but his father didn't. Yet, look what the Bible says about him, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So if our children are going to learn about salvation, they must, letter A, have a foundation in the Scriptures. Timothy had learned the Scriptures from a child, and they had pointed him to Jesus Christ. Predominantly, his learning would have been from the Old Testament scriptures, showing him a need for the Savior. We need a foundation in the scriptures. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." Now, those of us whose kids have been raised, we would talk to every one of you with kids at home, and we would say this: it's going to go by so fast, and before you know it, you're going to be saying bye-bye to those kids. How many parents in here, your kids are raised? You'd agree with that. It goes by so fast. We've got to do everything we can do while we have them to make sure that they know the Lord. And that's going to start by letting them know the scriptures at home and letting them get into Sunday school and letting them grow in the understanding of God and His Word. Mom and Dad, your kids are going to be somewhere soon. And I guarantee, especially if they're in a secular university, somebody's going to try to shake that faith and get them to question the Bible and get them to believe in evolution. It's only as we lay the right foundation that they'll be able to stand. They need a foundation in the scriptures. Secondly, as they have a foundation in the scriptures, we can show them a future in heaven. We can show them a future in heaven. Now, notice again what it says there in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3:15 said this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So my friend, it is the Bible that points us to our need for salvation. The Bible shows us that we are all sinners. The Bible shows us that Jesus died for our sin. We don't know that without the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." The way we are born spiritually is by hearing the truth of the word of God. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we cannot put faith in Jesus until someone shows us from the word of God. And a child that's being raised in the scriptures is going to realize he is a sinner. Jesus was the Son of God who shed his blood. Jesus' blood can cover our sin. And so we lay the foundation so that they can make their own decision someday to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is because of the scriptures that we hear this truth. It is because of the Savior that we can be saved. In fact, look at that in 2 Timothy 3:15 as we close this morning. It says, "The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." What does the next phrase say? "Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Would you say that with me? Through
faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
So salvation is not through church membership. Salvation is not through baptistry waters. Salvation is through faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." You don't save yourself. It's the gift of God, and we're saved because of God's gift through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, my friend, the greatest decision of life is to receive that gift of salvation that Jesus so wonderfully paid for. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's the best decision you could ever make. And if you're just getting started at this, why don't you start praying that your children would receive Christ as their Savior? Because folks, in my estimation, if our families aren't rooted in the scriptures, and if we don't know the Savior, we're not going to be able to withstand the fiery trials of the devil in this world today. He's throwing too many darts at our children. There's too many things coming their way. We've got to do our very best to steward our families. And the best way you can do that is to make sure that they know Jesus in their heart.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.